Christmas. It is wonderful to see all of you are here on site. And for those of you that are watching online, Merry Christmas to you too. Welcome to the first of two Christmas Eve services that we're having tonight. We call this our Traveler Service because this is the service for all of those that find Christmas Eve is already just chock full of activities that you need to do. And so tonight is your chance to relax and worship and celebrate the coming of the newborn King. So I ask now that you just get excited about worshiping the Lord your God and just be prepared for a night filled with music and praise. Amen. I want to invite all of us to stand now, including those of you at home who are worshiping with us, as we join together in a spoken call to worship as we prepare our hearts for lighting of the Christ candle. We have an Advent wreath where we've been lighting the four candles of Advent of hope and peace and joy and love. And tonight we light that Christ candle. So we have some words that will appear on the screen, or it's in your bulletin if you happen to be here with us. So I'll read, and so will you. Night is here.
Shepherds lie awake.
Angels appear.
Shepherds begin to quake.
Good news is proclaimed.
There is no mistake.
Tonight, the Christ is born.
Shepherds' praises we now make.
This evening, We joyfully light the Christ candle, remembering the night when God's love came down at the Savior's birth. God is with us and loves us. Thank you, Ann Hammonds, for lighting that for us. Praise God. And now I invite you all to join me in this prayer that's printed in your bulletin. For those of you at home, I don't know if that prayer is up there, but if it is, you can join if it's on the screen. If not, I invite you to listen to these words on your heart. Let us join together in this prayer. Holy God,
we come before you this night to proclaim a steadfast love, an undying care, a risk-taking grace. As shepherds watch their fields, you guard justice. You protect peace. You keep your eyes on your beloved. May our worship be as such, a holy watching, a patient waiting, a faithful presence. Amen.
All right, our first hymn this evening is going to be O Come All Ye Faithful, hymn 234, if you want to sing in your hymnal.
Joyful and triumphant, O come.
And you may be seated.
Thank you. My name is Isaac Glick. I will be reading the scripture for this night from Isaiah 9, 2, 6 through 7 through the Common English Bible. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in pitch dark land, light has dawned. A child is born to us, a son is given to us, and authority will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be vast authority and endless peace for David's throne and for his kingdom, establishing and sustaining it with justice and righteousness now and forever.
Our next hymn this evening is Hark the Herald Angels Sing. That is hymn number 240, if you want to sing along in your hymnal.
Voices tonight. Those of you online, I heard you too. I've been developing my senses. I want to thank all of you for being here, both on-site and online, for worship. I know that you have chosen this night because you've got things going on Friday. I stated that a little bit earlier, and I know what a crazy season that this can be. Some of you are going to be traveling. You're going to be going to different worship services. You're going to be going to different homes to celebrate with family and friends. Some of you are going to be hosting people coming into you, and you've got a whole night planned where you just can't do anything else. So I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas, and may I be the first to also wish you a very heartfelt welcome home. Yeah, you looked at me a little quizzically there. Trust me, I have discovered in this season of getting ready for Christmas that welcome home is just the very same thing as wishing people a Merry Christmas. We'll talk more about that in a little bit, but first I just want to talk about home. Those of you that have families that you're traveling to or have memories of those times in the past, you probably are thinking back to family traditions, to home traditions. You know, you eat certain foods. In my house growing up, we had cobblestone cake for Christmas. Mmm. And we had oyster soup. Ooh. We sang Christmas carols. We played Christmas carols on musical instruments. Some of you have done the same. You watch television shows. You might have a reading of The Night Before Christmas. Or maybe you read Dr. Seuss's The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. Well, guess what? Here at Harrisonville United Methodist Church, we have our own home traditions as well. And one of those traditions is to read the Christmas story to all of our children, no matter how old they are. So, I'm going to invite children from any age to come forward, which means you all can come up here if you'd like to. And I'm going to share the Christmas story. So, come on up. Hi, guys. You ready for Christmas story? Are you all ready for Christmas story? Those of you online, are you ready for Christmas story? Well, okay then. Okay. A long time ago, Caesar Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the empire, the Roman Empire. This was the first census where Quirinius, well, everybody say that with me, Quirinius. What a name, Quirinius. Now, you guys are going to name one of your kids that sometime. Quirinius was governor of Syria. Now, everyone had to travel to their own ancestral hometown to be accounted for. So Joseph went from the Galilean town of Nazareth up to Bethlehem in Judah. That's David's town, King David. That's where they went for the census. As a descendant of David, Joseph had to go there. He went with Mary, his fiancée, who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to a son, her firstborn. And Mary wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger because there was no room at the inn. Now, there were sheep herders camping in the neighborhood. They had set night watches over their sheep. Suddenly, God's angel stood among them and God's glory blazed around them. They were terrified. And the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide. A Savior has been born, just been born in David's town. A Savior who is Messiah and Master. This is what you're to look for, a baby wrapped in a blanket and lying in a manger." At once, the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir singing God's praises. "Glory to God in the heavenly heights. Peace to all men and women on earth who please him." As the angel choir withdrew into heaven, the sheep herders talked it over. "Let's get over to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God has revealed to us." So the shepherds left running, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Seeing was believing. They told everyone they met what the angels had said about the child. All who heard the sheep herders were impressed. Mary kept all these things to herself, holding them dear, deep within herself. The sheep herders returned and let loose, glorifying God and praising God for everything they had heard and seen. It turned out exactly the way they had been told. Not the end, but the beginning. That's pretty cool, huh? All right. Now, this is another part of our traditions here, because little baby Jesus is born. And over here at our nativity scene, you see a lot of the figures that are there, shepherds, some of those wise guys, those kings, and even animals. And they're all kind of staring at nothing because there is no baby Jesus. So what I need for you guys to do is to find the baby Jesus. So get going. And we don't have too much of a time limit, but you never know. Oh, what happened, Leah? That's where we hit it earlier. It's not there anymore. Did I do what? I didn't put it in here, I promise. No, but in a logical place. Is it in the room? Yes. And the stage area, close. It is close to this area. Logical place. I'm sensing some help from the audience here. Yay! See, it was close. All right, so what do you do? There you go. Well, you know, that's pretty good. You know, maybe mama should just go down where Jesus is. I don't know. There you go. You did good. Yay, let's give him a hand. All right, you guys can go back. Thank you very much. And just so you know, Leah, if you're here on Friday, we will hide it again in a different place this time. Oh, I'm not, huh? Home traditions are fun. And you know, we all yearn for home in some way. I mean, some of us, we're looking for a home where we can experience joy, aren't we? Where we find peace, where we encounter hope, where we're surrounded by love, and what we hope is unconditional love. That's the kind of home that we really seek. And some of us have a community of family and friends that we're surrounded with where we come pretty close to that, especially at this time of year, especially in our celebrations. Some of us used to have a connection to family and friends like that, but, you know, over the years, things have changed such that, you know, we've sort of lost that connection a little bit. It's that saying, that almost cliche that we hear that you can't go home again. Well, that seems to be coming true. And then there are some of us, it's been a struggle all our life, hasn't it? Trying to find a home that there is joy and peace, hope and love, where you could find wholeness, where you can find security, and just know that somebody loves you. Well, that's a hunger that is within us. And it's a hunger that drives us toward that home. And what this time of year really speaks to is not just home as we know it, not just our familiar homes, our familial homes, but good home, the good home, God home. It's in God's home, which we give this technical phrase, we call it the kingdom of God. It's that reality where God's love and peace and joy and hope and wholeness is there for us to encounter, not just when we die, but right now that we can encounter. And that's the home that we are called to. And that's the home that we are called to invite others to. It's a home that makes us hungry. Isn't it interesting that in this Christmas story that Luke shares with us, that I shared with the kids, that yeah, the people involved are all homeless. Have you noticed that? We have Mary and Joseph traveling 90 miles all the way south from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. Now, we might think, well, that's not too hard to drive. But there were no cars then. That's 33 hours walking distance, at least according to my app. And that 33 hours is probably continual, and that's a long time. That took a little bit of time to get down to Bethlehem. It's especially hard when Mary, who's pregnant, is there, and she's, you know, just struggling. We don't know if she's on the back of a donkey or not. That was in a trivia question. Was she on the back of a donkey? The Bible doesn't say. Man, if she was walking, you know she was tired. But they made it. They made it to Bethlehem, and all was well. And you would think if this is where Joseph came from, if he had descended from the line of King David, that he would have relatives there, and they would give them shelter. But no, they didn't. They weren't close to anybody there. They arrived there at night, and there was no place for them to stay. All the hotels were closed. There was no room at that inn. And so they were given a space almost in a garage, in a cave that served as a stable, because that's where stables were in those times. All those years ago, Mary and Joseph and little baby Jesus to come into the world were homeless. Nearby, there were some shepherds that were hanging out, sheep herders in the version of the Bible that we were sharing earlier today. And in a way, they were homeless as well, at least on this night. They probably had a family and home that they would go home to. But you know, a shepherd's job is hardly ever done. Most of the time, they're going from pasture to pasture with all those sheep. And they never know when they're going to get to where they're supposed to go. And they're traveling, and maybe, just maybe, they might come upon a creek where they might be able to bathe. But most of the time, they got up, they ate, they drank, they slept, they watched sheep. The next day, it was a reset. They would do it all again. It was hard work. It was dirty work. But there they were on that night long ago, out in the boonies. They didn't have a home. And it's to those homeless folks, those shepherds, that God decides to share a message. And all of a sudden, in a flash of blinding light, these shepherds encounter what today we would call a UAP, an unidentified aerial phenomena. Except that phenomena identified itself, and it became known as God's messenger, which we have a technical term for, that's angel. And the angel shared this amazing news that the shepherds heard and were trying to absorb, that a Savior was born. A Savior, someone who was going to save them, someone who was for them. And not only did this good news hit them, but also they were told where this Savior was and what to look for, right? Bethlehem, David's town, and a wrapped up baby in a feeding trough. What? They took in that news. They couldn't believe it. But then to drive it home, all of a sudden there's music, heavenly music all around them, just to kind of drive the point home to them. And so they got excited, and so they couldn't wait, and so they took off to Bethlehem. They were close. They were in the neighborhood. Now, I'm thinking about Mary and Joseph back in that stable, back in that cave. And I can't help but think of Mary just relaxing against the hay, just trying to get some rest after having a little baby. She's exhausted. And I'm thinking that Joseph is exhausted too. He didn't have to work as hard as Mary, but you know, he's trying to keep his eye out for any dangers that might be about. Or maybe that's not at all. Maybe they're both in a daze. And they're just looking down at this beautiful human who is so much more. I could just imagine the shock of hearing these shepherds coming toward him. And you know, I can't help but thinking they're taking the sheep with them too, because they can't leave them out there, right? So here are these shepherds. Here are the sheep coming toward him. And bobs of light from the torches that are coming close to him. And I can imagine that Mary and Joseph are just a little bit afraid. But then the shepherds come up and they stop. And there in front of the shepherds, just as they had heard, there is the Savior, capital S, right in front of them. And they just stand and they stare. And they behold. That's really what beholding is. It's really taking time and staring, right? It's taking it in. And there, they see what they've been promised. And they don't know what the future of this child is going to be, or maybe they have an idea, but they just know that the angels, something from heaven told them that this child would be here, and now they're filled with hope. And they're so excited that they take off and they start sharing about this baby that's in this manger, sharing with other people, the first evangelist ever. And Mary, well, she's just taking it all in. And this is just set so deep inside her heart that she remembers this probably for the rest of her life. And what I believe happened right there is that Mary encountered something that she would be for in the moments to come, in the minutes to come, in the hours to come, in the days to come, in the weeks and the months and the years. And that is that she encountered home, true home. She learned that home wasn't just a place, it's a relationship. And home is with God. It is with Emmanuel, God with us. We have such a hunger in our lives at this time for home. So many things that we do in our own lives that we try to make things better for ourselves, and because of decisions we make, actions that we take, sometimes things get better, but sometimes we find ourselves further and further away from being with God, from being home. And we find ourselves discouraged and frustrated and lost and just worn out. We don't know what to do, and we keep searching for home. But the thing is, we don't have to search for home. Home searches for us. And that's really what this time is all about. This time of year, we encounter a mystery. And that mystery is something called the Incarnation. A weird name, but what it means is that we truly believe that God, who is beyond all that we know, loved us so much that he put on flesh to be among us. There's a song that I listened to on Spotify about this time. I'm not going to play it, but there are some lyrics I want to share with you. I think I probably shared them before, but the words are just really powerful, and they share a little mystery, a little part of the mystery of the Incarnation. And this is called Welcome to Our World by Chris Rice. And I'll just share a few lyrics with you here that really tell us what God does and what God does even now with us. So wrap our injured flesh around you. Breathe our air and walk our sod. Rob our sins and make us holy. Perfect Son of God. Perfect Son of God, welcome to our world. I love that song. Now, there are three other stanzas there you guys can Google. But there's something else here, too. And that's the why. Why did God do this? Why did God wrap our injured flesh around him? Why did God rob our sins to make us holy? Why does God love us so much? Well, it's because we have a God who is love, who is amazing love. And this is the God who reaches to us and creates home where we are. We don't have to do anything to go home. God reaches to us. Now, we might be closed to that, but God's grace works on us in such a way that our lives can open up. And that is the love of Christmas, that God would come to us and create home with us. And so, part of who we are, part of our identity is we are a people who are hungry for home, but we know where we find home. And that home is with our God, a God who loves us. Our home is when we go to the door and we open that door and there's Jesus, who embraces us and who holds us tight and says, "Welcome home." Or, in the keeping of the season, "Merry Christmas," and "Amen." Beautiful, beautiful. Friends, at this time we are taking up an offering, a special Christmas offering. This time our offering is going to our missions throughout the United Methodist Church that we're going to give towards something called apportionments. That's a way that we are able to share through the connection, the United Methodist connection here. But the funds that you share tonight will help not only churches locally, but also worldwide, especially at this time where need is very much felt. So if you'd like to give here, we have offering baskets that are in the aisles. If you feel so led, for those of you at home, if you can give through our Tithely app or through our that connection on our website, or you can send a check through to P.O. Box 567 here in Harrisonville, 64701. I invite you to go to God now and what you might consider offering this evening. Precious and loving God, we just thank you for this time and this special service. Lord God, to glorify you in our offering today. You created us in your image. You are a generous God, and you created us to be generous in our love. So, Lord God, we ask for your Holy Spirit to anoint those offerings we are able to share this evening, that other people in this world who are lost and lonely, who are discouraged, Lord God, who are without a home, know that in you there is home. Thank you, Lord, for this time. It's in your precious name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in which we pray. Amen.
Now for our next song, this happens to be one of my favorite Christmas songs, Joy to the World, hymn number 246.
And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.
It is now time to engage in a holy meal together, holy communion. I know some of you are saying, should we sit down? I think we should stand for this a little bit. What do you think? Good exercise? We're going to build up hunger here. So there you go. There will be words on the screen as we share together in a great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Let us profess together who God has called us to be.
We are a community of people who follow the light that has come into the world, Emmanuel, God with us, and learning to walk in his light.
Let us remember the words that the Lord Jesus said on the night that he was betrayed.
He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said,
This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said,
This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.
For whenever we eat the bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be for the communion of the body and blood of Christ. And now, friends, let us join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now you may be seated. For those of you that are at home, I didn't give you much notice, but if you could gather some juice and some bread together for this time, I just want to invite us to remember that there is one loaf, for we are one body. Our Lord is broken for us. And behold, the cup of salvation for the forgiveness of sins for many. This time I would invite our ushers to please come forward to serve communion. And we serve communion in a unique way in these COVID times. What will happen is that we will have a server that will come out to you. And we've got a little chalice here. At one side, you can tear it open, and there's a little wafer. And on the other side, you can tear that open, and there's juice. I think these are all of this style, correct? Nope. Oh, so there, you might have the old style, which means you have to be careful. The wafer and the juice are all together on top, so I have faith in all of you in taking this communion. I also want to say something. Communion is open here at Harrisonville United Methodist Church. This isn't my table. This is the table of Jesus Christ. And all who have a joyful heart and are just open to God's love, come to this table and celebrate with us. Servers, you can take those on out there. And be blessed. Will you all pray with me? Thank you, most generous and loving God, for the gift of this meal we have shared as family. Lord God, keep us together as family. Be our home. And strengthen and lead us to share your light with one another and with all the world. In Jesus' loving name, amen.
Starlight shines, the night is still, the shepherds watch from the hill. I close my eyes, I see the night when love was born. A perfect child gently waits, a mother bends to kiss God's face. I close my eyes to see the night when love was born.
Amen. Guess what, friends? It is time for lighting the light. So I hope that everyone has one. If you don't, Amy is back there, and she can share those with you if you need one of these. Ellen is going to assist me. Now, we will show you how to light these, because you need to be a little bit careful. We do not want to have flambé in here. So Ellen, come on up. And what we're going to do is that Ellen and I'm going to light Ellen's candle, and notice how I turn that sideways? Well, that's what you all are going to do too. Ellen, go ahead and light that. Notice how she turns her candle sideways. Don't bend a lit candle, but bend the unlit candle toward that light. So, Ellen, if you could, you're going to get those guys first? Okay. She's going to get this side, I'm going to get this side, and we're going to start singing Silent Night. So I want you to stand as you're able. And what we're going to do is we're going to sing this, and then we're going to return to the final verse. All will grow dark except for your light, and then you'll raise your candle. celebrate the birth of the newborn King. May God's light through Jesus Christ shine through us all. We no longer need this light, for we are filled with the light of Jesus. Now go from this place and welcome people home. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. And now we have a beautiful postlude by Carolyn, if you'd like to listen. God bless you all and Merry Christmas!